Next, we'll hear reports from first, Justice Miller on Executive and Planning Committee.
Thank you, Chief. My regular written report will be posted online after the meeting. There are three items that I would like to specifically mention, though. And the first, as Martin had indicated, is the Audit Working Group, which you appointed as soon as the State Auditor released her report on the Judicial Council. We have met many, many times, and as Martin Hoshino mentioned in his report, the group is formulating the six-month response, which is due on July 7th. I can personally tell you that all of our discussions have been lively, frank, and very productive, and I personally want to thank the members who have been working so tirelessly on this effort. Those include Justice Jim Humes, Presiding Justice of Division I in the First District Court of Appeal, Placer Superior Court Administrative Presiding Judge, Assistant Presiding Judge Charles Walkup, Merced Superior Court Presiding Judge Ryan McCabe, the Chair and Vice Chair, both of the Strategic Evaluation Committee, Judge Marcia Slough, Presiding Judge of San Bernardino, and the Chair of the Trial Court Presiding Judges Advisory Committee, Sacramento Judge Lori Earle, the Chair of the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee, Mary Beth Todd, Sutter Court Executive and Chair of the Court Executive Advisory Committee, and Martin Hoshino, Jody Patel, and her staff have served us very, very well. Again, this is a terrific group, a thoughtful group, and I appreciate their willingness to step up at a moment's notice, because that's what we have been doing and meeting almost weekly. Second thing I'd like to mention is that the Executive and Planning Committee met with the Audit Working Group in an open public meeting over 2 days to review the Judicial Council directives that were based on the recommendations of the Strategic Evaluation Committee. And Judge Rubin and I will report back on the results of that review later today. But again, this was historic. We have been meeting on a yearly basis before, but those had been closed meetings. This meeting was open, it was public, and we discussed in detail the different directives. Third, I'd like to announce that we are now beginning to seek nominations for the Council's Distinguished Service Award. The Distinguished Service Award is the highest award presented by the Judicial Council of California. And each year, for now more than 20 years, the Judicial Council has honored individual judges, court administrators, justice system partners for their extraordinary service to the judicial branch. Over these years, the scope of the contributions being made by these individuals has broadened and diversified. We have recognized this evolution, and beginning this year, for the first time, the Judicial Council is streamlining its award process by consolidating previously separate award categories into a single Distinguished Service Award. Doesn't mean that there can't be multiple awardees that may be still selected in any single year, but that will depend on the number and the quality of the nominations we receive. So we look forward to nominations. We will encourage you to nominate individuals, and we're hoping again to be able to honor those who have worked to promote the judicial branch goals. And I just wanted to repeat those: access, fairness, diversity, independence, accountability, modernization of management and administration, quality of justice and service to the public, education for branch-wide professional excellence, branch-wide infrastructure for service excellence, and adequate, stable, and predictable funding for a fully functioning branch. There is a committee that will review and make recommendations to the Chief Justice. It consists of the four chairs of the Judicial Council's internal committees, as well as the chairs of the Trial Court Presiding Judges Advisory Committee and the Court Executive Advisory Committee. And for this year, that's Judge Slough and Mary Beth Todd. More information on the award, including the nomination forms, will be online any day now, we hope, and a notice will be sent out to the branch and the public. So we encourage you and others of the branch to nominate individuals for this distinguished award. And thank you, Chief. That concludes my report.
Thank you, Justice Miller. Next, we'll hear from Judge So from PCLC.
Thank you, Chief. The Policy Committee has met 5 times since the last council meeting. This is our busy season. Once in February, twice in March, and twice in April. We've taken positions on behalf of the council on 28 separate pieces of legislation and approved 3 legislative proposals to go out for public comment. I'm not going to go over all 28. I'm just going to highlight a few of these bills. The committee also adopted a recommendation on one proposal for judicial council sponsorship and approved one piece of legislation for co-sponsorship. I'd like to thank the hard work of the committee. The committee's always prepared and always very, very thoughtful on all of these bills. I think the council really ought to know that these bills generally have been vetted extremely thoroughly, and that's because most of these bills have gone through the advisory committees. We've received the positions of the advisory committees, and that's really helped in our consideration of the position of the Judicial Council. At the February and March meetings, we've acted to oppose Senate Bill 127, AB 311, and AB 455. And AB 1068, all dealing with the California Environmental Quality Act. And, of course, those bills require the courts to do and the judges to do things in a very expedited way. The committee also approved co-sponsorship of Senate Bill 213 with the California Judges Association, which deals, of course, with peremptory challenges. In addition, PCLC was presented with the Benchmark Coalition's past accomplishments and its goals and objectives given for the upcoming legislative year. On April 9th, PCLC approved sponsorship of a legislative proposal on the disposition of the surplus San Pedro Courthouse for Los Angeles. The committee also approved for circulation for public comment three legislative proposals from the Criminal Law Advisory Committee, the Probate and Mental Health Advisory Committee, and the Civil and Small Claims Advisory Committee. The committee has taken an opposed position unless amended on Senate Bill 682, which replicates AB 566, introduced in 2013, and last year's AB 2332. Of course, this is known as the Contracting Out Bill. It's back, and I just wanted to be sure that everybody is aware of that. The committee also took a no position on Senate Bill 266 concerning flash incarceration. Yesterday, the committee considered four bills on its discussion agenda. The bill that I'd like to point out to you is AB 874, and we have taken a neutral position on AB 874. AB 874 is the bill dealing with collective bargaining for judicial council staff. So that's in the hopper, and everybody needs to be aware of it. Since the last council meeting, as you know, the Chief Justice delivered her State of the Judiciary address to a joint session of the legislature. Immediately after that, there was a meet and greet with legislators and guests. In addition, the Bench Bar Coalition's day in Sacramento occurred on that same day, and we were able to meet with the leaders and legislators on issues of critical importance to the branch. Chief, that completes my report.
Thank you, Judge Soh. Next, we'll hear from Justice Hull from Rules and Projects Committee.
Yes, thank you, Chief. Good morning. Ladies and gentlemen, good morning. The Rules and Projects Committee has met twice and has acted once by email since the February 19th Judicial Council meeting. On March the 20th, the Rules and Projects Committee met by telephone to review eight proposals that circulated for public comment during the winter rules cycle, one proposal for technical amendments that did not circulate, and one proposal to circulate on a special cycle. RUPRO approved circulation as to the proposal on a special cycle. The committee also deferred consideration of one item, asking the proponents to provide additional information. RUPRO recommends council approval of the other nine proposals, which are items A1 through A9 on today's consent agenda. RUPRO acted by email on February the 25th to approve a technical correction to a form. RUPRO met in person yesterday to consider 34 proposals to circulate for public comment in the spring 2015 rules cycle. RUPRO approved circulation of the proposals. These proposals are posted for public comment through June 17th. Following circulation and further review by the advisory committees and RUPRO, these proposals are expected to come before the Judicial Council at the October 2015 business meeting. RUPRO also considered and recommends two proposals that are expected to come before the Council at the June business meeting and considered one item that was on our agenda for informational purposes only. Chief, thank you. That's the RUPRO report. I'd be glad to answer any questions.
Thank you, Justice Hall. I see no hands raised. We'll hear from Judge Herman on the Technology Committee.
Thank you, Chief. Since the February Judicial Council meeting, the JCTC has had two open meetings and one closed meeting, all being telephonic, as well as two actions by email. And the primary focus that the JCTC has been involved with since the February meeting, and in fact before that for a substantial period of time, is strategizing with the V3 courts and also with the expenditures and revenues subcommittee of trial court budget advisory on a strategy to transition the V3 courts off of V3. In addition to the full committee meetings, we also had a small subgroup that met individually with the V3 courts, consisting of myself, Judge Buckley, Judge D'Alba, and Rick Feldstein, again, to get input from those courts, reaction to those courts in terms of various transitioning strategies. At the March 26 closed meeting, the V3 courts provided additional collective information to the Judicial Council Technology Committee related to V3. Later in the day, the JCTC held an open meeting with the V3 courts. Judge Lori Earle, Chair of Trial Court Budget Advisory, reported on the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee's revenue and expenditures actions to try to resolve the shortfall in the IMF. And the V3 courts were invited to share their concerns with the JCTC, as the committee has studied this extensively and worked closely with the courts. The committee made a recommendation that we'll discuss in detail in item H later today on our agenda. The funding of the V3 interim case management system as part of the discussion, again, will be walked through, and we'll talk about that recommendation again in detail. On April 2nd, I presented at the Revenue and Expenditure Subcommittee meeting what the go-forward strategy, and the committee, working with the committee, they're concurring with the action that we will recommend to the council today. On April 13th, the JCTC held an open meeting, and Justice Berniers, Chair of CTAC, provided an update on the work of the committee, its subcommittees and work streams. The JCTC reviewed a proposal to amend Rules 10.16 and 10.53 to implement the recommendations of the Judicial Council-approved Court Technology Governance and Strategic Plan, including transitioning the name of CTAC to the Information Technology Advisory Committee, updating roles and responsibilities of both the Advisory Committee and the Judicial Council Technology Committee. The committee voted to approve, and it will now follow the rules process, including review by RuPro and public comment. And finally, the JCTC received an update on the activities around the funding of the Sustain Justice Edition case management system. And Ms. Deborah Norrie, who's for a long time been the kind of the leader of the Sustain user group, made that presentation and participated and shared in the thoughts of the SJE courts. And I would just note at this point that on an ongoing basis, Judge Earle's committee is putting together a working group of participants, including CIOs, CEOs, and judicial officers, in order to work, do a three-way work with budget advisory, this working group, and the sustained courts, and JCTC, in order to, again, come up with a strategy for the sustained courts. And I'm just grateful on behalf of JCTC to Judge Earle and her committee for setting up that process. I would note that Rick Feldstein, I don't know how he does his day job, but he's sort of going to be the pivot person in that effort, because he's both on SEAC Executive Committee, on JCTC, and is going to be a strong participant in that working group, which will, again, develop a recommendation to come back to the council to how to transition the sustained courts off of support through the CCTC, the California Courts Technology Center. The Judicial Council Technology Committee was asked to approve that the proposed amendments to rules of court could be circulated for public comment, and again, that will then come back to the council. Chief, that concludes my report. If there's any questions, I'd certainly be glad to answer them. I'd just like to thank staff for the a lot of support and work, Kurt Soderlund, Mark Desmond, and his crew, and of course the folks that support Trockwood Budget Advisory, and Judge Slough, Sherry Carter, and Judge Earl for all the work that we've put in over the last period of time on these issues.
Thank you, Judge Herman. I see no hands raised.